Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Welcome again. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Dan Fox, and I have the privilege of sharing a message with you. But before I get into it, I got a little story to tell you. You know, I love fly fishing in the Crow's Nest Pass. So I'm driving along the highway, zipping along. It's quiet midweek, hardly any traffic on the road at all. And just coming around this bend, and all of a sudden this little bunny rabbit jumps out in front of me. So I slow down and swerve to the other lane, and this rabbit bounds over at the same time. It's like, oh no. So then at the last second, I swerve back to my proper lane, and wouldn't you know it, the little bunny rabbit jumps over there too, and I just clip this rabbit. I was like, oh, and I'm just shaking a little. And this convertible just whips by on the other lane, and I kind of pull over, and I'm just, you know, I just didn't want to have that happen. And this car pulls over, and this lady jumps out with crazy red hair, reaches in the back seat, with this, grabs something, runs over to this rabbit laying kind of in the middle of the road in the highway, and just sprays this thing. And the rabbit, I'm looking in my rearview mirror like, what in the world? In my side view mirror. And this little bunny shakes a little bit and gets up and bounces away about 30 yards and turns around and kind of sort of almost stands up and gives a little bunny wave. I get out of my car like, what in the world? And I run over to this lady, and then the rabbit sees me and bounces off towards the ditch and turns around one more time and gives this little bunny wave. I'm flabbergasted. So I say to this lady, what in the world did you spray on that rabbit? She just grins and hands me this can. It says, hairspray. Revives dead hair and adds a permanent wave. Okay, now we'll get into some real true story, right? Anyway, I have, what a wonderful message the Lord has asked me to share. You know, I look at the church as something that's been so significant in my life, but I don't really, look, I brought my glasses this time so I wouldn't have to turn around all the time. I can see it over there. I'm learning from my pastor, you see. It's because I have the same screen as you, but it's not as clear without. So, I know they're not sexy, are they? That's okay. Why study about the church? Well, that's a good question. Because people think, oh, okay, well, we go to church, we're part of a church, why do we need to study about it? You can tell I don't like wearing these. Because my eyesight is such that I can see just fine when I'm looking like this, but in the distance, things get blurry. So I'll have them on and off, so don't get distracted by my having them on and off. It's just, I'll try to see without them. I find them very irritating. Lord, I thank you for healing my eyes. In Jesus' name. Well, I want to read this scripture to you. Why study about the church? Let's see how, this is from the Message translation, which I think you're going to enjoy, just the wording of this verse. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. That's from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. That's a familiar verse, but it sure sounds different in more of a modern take. Like really just spurring each other on, worshiping together and being an encouragement to one another. Do I hear music? That was weird. I thought I heard music. Today we'll look at what the word says regarding the church. Now we're going to look at a lot of stuff. And there's some underlying things that I saw the Holy Spirit really bring out as I was going through it. Because I kind of study the word and I see something in the word and I say, okay, point A, point B. It's just the way I work. One, two, three, four. But there's kind of these little nuggets the Holy Spirit brings out from all of it besides the little teaching points. And one thing that he really stirred me is unity. And we're going to hit on that a lot. And it really wasn't a point in the message, but everywhere I looked at the scriptures we're using, at the different things we'll look at, we'll talk about unity a lot. And it's really remarkable how the Holy Spirit weaves everything and has woven everything together. I'm not talking about in my message. I'm talking about in the word so that we can clearly see how God operates. So the church, we want to see how we can be better at encouraging love and helping out. Remember that helping out part? A lot of times we come to church once a week and we think we're getting a lot out of it. But let me tell you from experience, I've been on both sides of this pulpit, and I've taught Sunday school, and I helped in nursery, and we did a street youth ministry. We've done television ministry, online ministries, written books, and so that, I mean, it's been everything. And from experience, you don't get nearly as much out of church as when you start putting into it. When you say, okay, you know what, I might not feel called to that ministry or this ministry, but they're saying they need somebody, you don't have to commit for a lifetime. But let your love put your own agenda on the side burner and just help for a few months in an area where there's a need. And it brings amazing blessing into your life. You will not, you can't imagine until you experience it the difference it brings in your prayer life and in your intimate personal times with God when you're actually laying your own desires aside to help His work and in His way and whatever needs to be done. Not necessarily something you've chosen as a lifelong path and a goal and what God's called you to, but just to be a help. And well, we're going to see a lot about that today. I'm going to open with some prayer because I really feel like we can do something special today as we see what the Lord has put on, what He showed me. It's just remarkable. So let's open in some prayer and we really get our hearts right. Soften our hearts up. Holy Spirit, we pray together. We see in Your word over and over and over how when people are gathered together in Your name, You're there in the midst. Lord, we trust Your word. We trust Your word above our own thoughts, above our own ideas. When we see it in Your word, we believe it, we stand on it. Lord, we're asking, help our hearts to be changed by it. Help us to not have the idea that, oh, that sounds nice, but that's all we need. But Lord, help us to grow, that our hearts, each of us here today, would be good ground, that just hearing it's not enough, but we want to do it. We want to allow You, Holy Spirit, to change us today. So come into this place and minister to everyone. We know Your plan for each of our lives is far better than our own. That You can do exceedingly, abundantly in each of our lives above all we can ask or even think. Holy Spirit, I pray Your blessing, Your grace, Your mercy, Your power, Your prosperity, Your peace, Your strength, Your anointing on every individual here and every family, every home, that they'd never be the same, Lord, that Your blessing and power would increase in their lives. Help us work together in unity in the church and allow Your Holy Spirit to move in each of our lives in so much more powerful way than we've ever experienced before. We're asking You for it in Jesus' name. And it starts right here. We pray it in faith. Amen. Now we're gonna have some fun in the Word. I think slide 3 says, the church is God's design, God's family, and it wields great power, correct? Look at this verse. This is Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by My Father in heaven. And then He repeats Himself more or less to make sure that you get the point. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, do we believe this word is the word of God? Do we really believe it? Because if we do, we realize that, man, every time we come together as a body, Jesus Himself is right here in our midst. Is there something you need today? Well, Jesus is in the house. He promised it. It's not us that has to muster it up. He's right here in our midst. And that's amazing to me. And that's so humbling to me that He would use me in His house. And He's right here with us. To me, that's an amazing thing. And we can't forget that. Because the house of God is not just like every other building or establishment or place we go to visit throughout the week. It's the house of God. And it might just look like a lot of other buildings. And it may be constructed by construction companies that built some of the other buildings. But this one was placed here by God, and He's in the house. And that makes it a lot more special. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We're going to see this over and over. Now, we saw it in the verse we just read, right? Because where two or three are gathered together, he's there in the midst. Well, here we see how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. And I skip verse 2 because it just goes on and it says the same thing over. But I want to see verse 3. It is like the dew of Hermon, which is a great mountain in Israel. And dew, you know, I mean, who's been out on a mountain and there's this beautiful dew in the morning and it's just beautiful? Well, he's just using a picturesque thing that people understood in where he was speaking to them and where he's writing. Descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Notice that even in this Old Testament psalm, the blessing of God and eternal life is linked to unity. You know, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was poured out when they all got into one accord. You know, God's shown us something over and over in Scripture about when we just get our hearts together and work together. One can chase 1,000, the Old Testament says. Two can chase 10,000. I don't get that new math. That's God's. But man, it sure sounds good to me. When we really get a hold of God's vision for what he wants to do in our city, we can make it happen. Because he's right here in the midst. And we just run with the vision he puts in our heart. And the pastor brings us the word of God week after week. Run with the vision, get together and just say, okay, this is God's house, this is what God's saying to us, this is what he wants us to do. It doesn't matter what he's calling another church to do, it's what God wants this family to do. We can make a difference. We're grabbing hold, reaching forward towards something that has eternal benefits and eternal ramifications. It's worth setting our own ideas and agendas aside and just saying, okay, I'm all in. I'm all in, because this is God's house. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So those pastors and leaders and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles, they're not there to do the work of the ministry. They're there for equipping each of us, so each of us can do the work of the ministry. Man, that's awesome. You have a great responsibility. A great responsibility. But it's not you and your own strength that has to make it happen. It's you yielding to God and saying, okay, your way. What do you want me to do today? Not what do you want me to do with my whole life. What do you want me to do today? And just live every day in God's presence like that. And man, we will change this city. We'll change our province. We'll change this nation. Man, they had a little group of apostles and they turned the world upside down. How much can we do with the internet, with television, and with each of us working together with God? God's in the house, and he wants to use us to do great things. Till we all come, now it gets even better, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, so we all get in agreement, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, so we really, really know him, to a perfect man. Now that gets really heavy. Now it's not as heavy as you think. Perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's pretty heavy. This is where God's heading each of us individually, to the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I want to be just like him. You know, the Bible says when he returns, we'll know him because we'll be like him. This is where we're heading. And how does God accomplish this? How is he doing this? Oh, wait. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's how he's helping each of us. That was God's plan and God's design, the church, to get each of us to be Christ-like. Some people get the idea. They think, oh, you know, no, I can pray at home, skip church today, and I just don't feel like going. It's kind of miserable outside. I can grow just as much at home. You know what? I find in the Word that, yeah, we may get that idea sometime, and usually it's our flesh that's making us feel a lot more comfortable than we ought to feel, that's keeping us there and giving us that attitude. Because the Word says the church is how we become Christ-like. It's through the church. This is God's arm. This is Christ's body in the earth today. Man, we take it so lightly sometimes. We can come, we can not come, we can get involved, we can not get involved. But God is saying, if you really want to be Christ-like, this is his plan and his design, how to make it happen. I mean, you can ask anybody, I am not smarter than God. And most people would agree. So when I'm trying to convince myself that I can grow just as much reading my Bible at home and stuff, guess what? God is saying something different. And who wants to, if I was a gambling man, I'd say, who wants to lay money on the fact that God is smarter than me and he knows better than I do? Well, he does. Notice verse 11 and 12 give us God's design for the church, but verse 13 gives us the purpose of his design, and that's what we just talked about, us becoming Christ-like. Thanks. I could use that. I thought I had one. Oh, I do have one. But thank you. Do I sound dry? That's a bad sign. You know the word says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let each thing be established. Everything be established. And we've seen in three different verses, and there are just three of them, thousands. I even threw a couple extras in there that aren't in the notes. That unity is really key. But watching the Holy Spirit pour out in the book of Acts, when they got into one accord, when they finally got in agreement, got it all together. I mean, there was a lot less people in that upper room at that time, but the ones that were there were in unity. The Holy Spirit poured out and thousands were added to the church that day, and they changed the world. And things got tough in their city and people started really persecuting them and the establishment started persecuting them and they spread out. The gospel went around the world. But it started when they got into one accord. So I got a good feeling about where God's heading this church. It's awesome. And the things you see in the young leaders that he's bringing in and the couples that are in leadership, it's awesome. So I know there's great things to come and I'm excited about it. God always wants what's best for us, and I know that he's got a plan and a purpose, and he wants us to be a part of it. He's just saying, get in unity, keep in unity, don't let things undermine that unity, because God is all for us being in one accord. Now, Jesus is building his church. That's slide five, I think. I think I'm slide five. It's our Lord who's building his church. Sometimes we forget that. It's not, well, although the pastor is used by God, it's not the pastor's plan and purpose. He goes on his knees and finds the plan and purposes of God. I think I'm done with that page. Holy Spirit, you trying to tell me something? No, it's just the fan. It's not us, or it's not an organization building the church. It's God himself building the church. We saw that in Scripture. And the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. And I know that that's coming up later, but I'm going to say it now. If Jesus is the head of the church, then I want to be part of what he's head of. I don't want to be a part of anything else someone else is leading up. When there's a choice, Jesus is leading this, or I'm going with the one Jesus is ahead of. That's the one I want to follow. And I mean, I've dedicated a good chunk of my life. When I got to know him, when I really met him, when I made Jesus Lord of my life, not just asking them into my heart, although that is the gateway. You believe and you're saved. But then I read a verse that said, and I heard some ministers minister on it too, which really helped. Men of God are so priceless. I mean, not just in general, God's gift to the body, we need it. But I heard them say, you know what, there's a verse in there, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That weighed heavy on me, real heavy. Excuse me. His anointing once in a while, he turns it up a little and I can't have trouble handling it. But I'll get my composure together. I sense him talking to me. I'll tell you one thing. I've ministered one time in Thailand in a Thai church with a translator. And it really pays great. The best time I've ever had in a pulpit, because I had to shut up a lot. Let the man speak in Thai and I could hear the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. When he talks, it's hard sometimes to keep your composure. So forgive me if I fall apart a little bit, but I'll get it back together. He's got some, man, he shares some beautiful things with me. And here's one for you. Matthew 16, 13 and 18. I'm going to read it out of the New King James. I love the Lord and I love him with all my heart. A long time ago, as I was beginning to say, and then I kind of broke up, he weighed really heavy on me with that, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And he reminded me of a prayer I prayed when I was like first grade. The first time I ever heard the gospel, first or second grade, I think I was six years old. And I said, I was reading about, it was a Catholic school. The Good News Bible had little line drawings in it and stuff. We're reading all about, in modern English, these disciples and the adventures they were having, and Jesus walking on the water and them feeding the 5,000 and stuff. And I remember praying as a 6 or 7 year old, and he reminded me when I was 24 or 25. Told you, okay, I'll keep it together. He reminded me of that prayer that I prayed to God, I want to be like one of these guys. Thinking that at the time I was 6 or 7, that it would be just like the disciples and I'd walk with Jesus and everything. He reminded me when I got saved and then I heard that message about, you know, doing what he says, not just asking him into your heart and then just going about living the, any old way you want, but living the way he says to live. And boy, that changed me forever. And I'm still so excited about God and the things of God and where he's going. I won't put that back up there. Okay, so I said I was going to read you this out of the New King James, and I am. I wouldn't lie in front of the, especially on stage. And it's being recorded. Verse 13. When Jesus came, from chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Or I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and some are saying Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So he said, what's the people talking about me? What are they saying? And then he said, "Well, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter," which is translated a rock, or he called him Rocky. He said, "So you're Rocky. And on this rock," I'm not talking about Rocky because he uses a different word now, "on this mountain," this boulder that Peter had just said, says, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It says Hades in New King James, but hell sounds, it's more normal to me. I've read Old King James for years and years. "Well, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church, and we're in the right place." But the thing I want us to see out of this real quick is that it's paramount for the church to understand what we're building this on is the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He's our Savior. The Word says, "No," he said it himself, "no one comes to the Father but by me." There is not some other religion or faith anywhere in the world that I've ever heard of, and I've studied a few, went to Bible college and we had to, and there's none that don't require the follower to obey all these rules and regulations in order to earn their way into whatever bliss or they're ever talking about. But Christianity says, no, Jesus did it for you, because God knew that we couldn't. He knew that sin had come upon the earth, and the earth was cursed, and we're born of this planet, so obviously the curse is here, and there's no way out of it in our own strength. Christianity is the only religion in the world that says, "I love you enough that I'll pay the price." He sent his only son, his only begotten son. Now he's got a whole bunch of us. A whole bunch of us. See, and Jesus saw that coming. But this is what the church is founded on. This is what Christianity is based upon, that Jesus is the Christ. And it was God that revealed it to Peter. Jesus said that himself. Jesus is here in our midst. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Because it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed it to you either. It was God himself. How humbling when you realize there's almost around 8 billion people on this planet. But God wants you to know the truth. He called you to be part of his family. Why he called me, I have no idea. I was not a nice guy. But he got my attention and kept working on me until he got me into the family. And that's an awesome thing. The church is the best place in life to be. Okay, let's get going. It's a decision that separates destinies, heaven, or hell. It's the message of the church. It's what love causes us to sow into offerings and to tithe and to give of our time to help spread this message around the world. Certainly in our city, certainly with the people around us at work. It's love that will cause us to, when we see how much God loved us, and his love starts doing something in our hearts that makes us want to be a part of his church, his arm. He said it's his church. He said he's building it. He's the head, and the church is his body. And yeah, we want to be part of it. And it's the message that we have to spread, that Jesus is the Christ. It makes Christianity so unique from other faiths and religions of the world. It's Jesus who's building his church, and we're blessed to be invited to participate. And of all the billions of people on earth, man, that's awesome. The mission of the church is to be the light of the world. That's not that complicated. That's God's love in the earth reaching out to the lost and the hurting. You know, there's people dying today on earth that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, hell is an awful destination, an awful destiny. Not one of us have that coming. But there's billions out there that need to hear the truth. It's a free gift. They don't have to earn their salvation. They just need to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not that complex. We can get that message out there, and we can do it better if we're all working together, right? Unity and just seeing the message and getting it out there. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and we're his body. And what are we going to do to share this love with the world? That's the mission of the church. Build up his body. We're the body of Christ, and we want to increase the body. We're bodybuilders. It's true. It's not necessarily the way that term has been used in the past. Okay, the church. Number AA is Jesus is the head of the church. We made that clear, but let's look at Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We're part of it. We're part of him. There's no vibrant Christian life that doesn't involve an active church life. And the reason you see a campfire there, and I've used this analogy many times. I may have even shared it here. I can't remember. I've said it so many times. But I learned this. I'm a camping and mountain hiking kind of guy, and you know that. When you sit around a campfire and you build an awesome campfire, you could take the fire, the log, the one that's burning the brightest, the real heart of the fire, you can take tongs and take that thing out of there and set it off to the side and in outside of the stones. And that thing will burn out in 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. And yet that campfire with all the little ones together is going to keep roaring, keep burning, and keep burning, and keep burning. Now that's the church, and we need to be part of it. It doesn't matter how on fire we think we are as individuals. When we take ourselves outside of what God's doing and God's purpose and God's plan, we will burn out. And that's a perfect picture, and you should not forget it. So go camping and remember this message. So there you go. Well, don't go camping on a Sunday though, right? Amen. Okay, there's no vibrant Christian life without involvement, active involvement. It's not enough to just come once a week, although that's great. It's great that you come on Sunday, but how much more blessed your life would be when you actually say, okay, God, use me. Use me. And pray every day for that. Say, Lord, open opportunities for me. Show me where you want me to help. Even if it's not something I have to do forever, just show me where I can help. Put it on your heart. Boy, you know how blessed it is to our pastor when people come up to him and say, hey, I want to help in children's, or I want to help in youth. What can I do? What do you need? I want to help clean up on Sunday after church. I want to do this or do that. Whatever God puts in your heart, just do that. Because you know what's going to happen? He's going to put something else on your heart. As you're diligent in this, he's going to give something bigger and something bigger and something bigger. I won't tell you where I started in church. I even cleaned the bathrooms. Well, anyway, church service is not always the spotlight. I kind of prefer being in the background. And he stuck me in front of people over and over and on television and stuff. And I'm the kind of guy that would rather like to be off in a corner somewhere and not in front of people. So just so you know, my knees don't shake anymore, but I wore out the insides of many pairs of pants when my knees just... Being part of a church family is to be part of God's plan and purpose. Reaching towards something larger than ourselves. Really grabbing hold of a destiny in life designed by God. It bears eternal fruit. And man, that's so awesome to be plugged into the church and be part of that. Hebrews 12, 22, 23. That should be up on the screen, right?
Yeah.
But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. You're in the right place, guys. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Listen to this. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. We know who that is. Who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all. And listen to this. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, when you look in Scripture and you study out that made perfect thing, what that means is people that have been raised from the dead. They're with Christ in heaven. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you'll find a few places that it talks about perfection, having not been made perfect yet. And then you look at another Scripture, it says, Jesus was perfected. He rose from the dead. Okay, I get it. So when you're no longer in the grave and you're with God in heaven, you've been... So there's a whole bunch of spirits of just men made perfect that are part of this city, this heavenly Jerusalem that we've joined in and become part of. You know what? They know what's going on. The ones that have gone before us, they know what's going on. And I'll bet my grandmother's just praying up a storm in heaven. I have a great granddad that established a town and was a blacksmith and built the big steeple and the huge bell and everything in a church in then Upper Canada, now Quebec. And you know, they were believers. There's stories my mom told me from her childhood that just would shock you. They were believers. They had faith. They had miracles in their home. They had an African missionary come by, and because they couldn't find the priest, and they had one of the children, there was like 18 kids in the family. I love those days. And couldn't find the priest, but this missionary was at the church when my grandfather rode there with the buggy, so he said, "You come," and he prayed, and they had a healing miracle. This little preemie baby that is one of my aunts, the youngest aunt, still alive today, was like a pound and a little bit, kept alive for weeks inside of a wood-burning oven. And it was just, but absolute healing miracles. And this, God is involved in his church, but you know, those people that have gone before you, your ancestors that were believers, they're in God's face praying for you. There's no question. They know what's going on. Now, I'm sure they're spared a lot of the gory details. I sure hope so. I hope they didn't see all the stupid things I did before I got saved. Man, be involved in the work of the local church. Being part of what God is doing is priceless. Okay, Jesus was raised in a home devoted to God. Where are we at? Time-wise. Can't see that. Am I over time? Is that clock right? Okay, I'll get out of here. I'm supposed to be done, am I not? I'm okay? All right, Jesus was raised in a home devoted to God. Matthew 19:22. Jesus was raised in a home devoted to God, and his earthly dad could hear the voice of God and recognize it. These were not spirit-filled. This was before the resurrection of Christ. And this non-spirit-filled man walking with God moved his young family to another country at God's command. There is honor and obedience and reverence to God. And that's what we need in our families. And man, if that was important for Jesus, for God's first begotten son, his only begotten son, then how important is it for our kids, for us to make sure that our family is raised in the house of God? I had no idea it was that late already. I thought I was doing fine. And I should be done at what time? Now, not everybody feels the same way. What lesson can we take from this, that Jesus was raised in a home like that, is that we aren't to forsake church life. Raising our family in a godly home and atmosphere where God is in service to God, not just showing up once a week, but service to God is an integral part of your life. That is priceless to our kids. That is our heritage. You know, we just live this life on a timeline. In God's eyes, the big picture, I mean, he sees all of mankind from Adam, and you're on there somewhere. But man, let's make sure that we do our utmost, that our part along this timeline is not just wasted time, that we made a difference, because the little thing we do on our spot in the timeline might make an eternal difference for loads, thousands down below. You know, Billy Graham led many people to Christ. thousands, maybe even millions. But somebody prayed him into the kingdom, and somebody led him to Christ. And I doubt they knew or knew that they'd be part of leading millions to Christ. Well, I'm going to run through some things really fast so that we can get out of here. There's benefits to being part of the church family. It helps strengthen your relationship with God through biblical teaching, and we hear it every Sunday, and we have a great pastor. And you know, there's also midweek groups and stuff, and we'll get into some of that. Through encouraging, through challenging you to grow, and through opportunities to minister or getting involved, man, it will strengthen your relationship with God. Godly relationships with others, Proverbs 27:17, familiar passages, iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Good friends that encourage you in godly ways are priceless. Help comes from good friends when you need it. And this especially is true. A good friend will call you on stuff that isn't right in your life because they really love and care for you. Not because they want to go tell somebody else and gossip about it, because they care. They'll come and confront you and say, you know, I've been praying and I see this. And that's what good friends do. If I see a good friend heading towards danger, I'm going to tell him, hey, there's the bridge is out there. Don't keep driving that way. I'm not going to just let him continue on. And that's why it's priceless to us to be involved with people in those midweek groups and stuff and get to know people and have some real close friends, the kind that would say something to you when you're making a bad decision or a bad choice, people that really love you. It helps us grow as people of God. It challenges us to get out of our comfort zone, and boy, do we need that. Encourages us to be diligent in life. If I had never got out of my comfort zone, I would never come and speak in front of people. I was shy. I overcame that. Encourages us to be diligent in life. I did overcome that. I'm not that shy anymore. You know, laziness is not a fruit of God's Spirit. You can look in the Word. Laziness is not listed. I wish it was, but it's not. Develops our love walk. Ample opportunity to forgive. Overlooks faults and grows patience. We grow in patience with people. If you don't give yourself opportunity to hang around other people, I mean, but when you do, there's going to be things that you have to overlook, and it helps your patience grow. Helps us prove ourselves to ourselves that when someone says something or we hear someone said something or we get a little offended or we get hurt by something, it helps our love grow. We prove ourselves, our walk and our maturity that we've improved when we see in ourselves that we'll continue on serving God even though someone said something negative or did something behind our back. We just love them anyway, and we just continue walking with God. And that proves to ourselves, hey, I have grown. I am getting somewhere in God. I'm not going to run off at the first sign of adversity or somebody that doesn't like me or hurts my feelings. I mean, that's important. We have to know that we know we're on the right track and we're growing with God. James 2:18 says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. He says, show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. So yeah, develops our love walk, helps us to continue doing what God is asking us to do even when we don't feel like it. Grows our understanding. We gain perspective when we see the thoughts and views of others concerning the Word of God. And we have, if we're faithful attenders, take notes too, lessons on a wide range of topics come to those who are faithful attenders. So don't miss, because Doug spends time on his knees before God and prepares and prepares and prepares. And God has what we need every week. So be here. And if for some reason you can't possibly be here, then check it out online and listen to, because we grow this way. Okay, maturity, the ability to overlook differences, even in doctrine, not major doctrine, but there'll be little differences. I probably don't agree with everything Doug thinks. He probably doesn't agree with everything I think. That's okay. We agree in Christ, and we love each other, and we're going to work together with God and watch God's will be done in this place, and we're just going to keep running together. And if we find some little things we disagree on, so what? Ability to overlook differences, continue a Christ-centered relationship in love comes through commitment to long-term fellowship. You're committed to the family. I'm here because God put me here, and I'm gonna work it out. If I have a problem with one of my kids, they don't kick me out. I don't leave the family. I don't kick them out. They don't leave the family. They're still part of the family. We just work it out. And we do that in the house too. Thick skin. This is good. Not always easy, but okay, now get this. Maturity means you're going to get thicker skin. You're not going to be easily offended because you're going to get lots of practice at being offended because you're part of a family. So don't run away when you get offended to another house and then get offended again and leave that one to go to another house and then get offended, because that's life. Someone's going to offend you. In the house, you're going to have babies and sometimes they mess their diapers. And you're going to have teenagers, and sometimes they can be downright just rude. And they're still great kids. They're not mature yet. And you know, this is a family. We're going to have members at every different level of their walk with God. Someone's going to do something to offend you. Love them anyway. Get thick skin. Pray for them all the more. If you're offended with somebody, you should be praying for them several times a day. And watch what, you know what will happen? Your offense will leave. They may not change right away, but you will not be offended anymore, and you can continue to grow and mature. You'll get thicker skin. They will grow because you're praying for them, but you'll grow even more. It's amazing. Okay, I got to get out of here. City Light, a church on fire, because we're going to do these things. You want to be in leadership? God wants you in leadership. Focus on your character. He's got use for you. Doesn't matter what area. He's got use for you. Leadership is a calling of God. And do you want to move mountains? Well, we all do, right? When there's a crisis in our life, we all want to move mountains. Stir yourself and others up to believe. Remember, even Jesus couldn't do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. So stir each other up to believe God. When we believe, great things can happen in our midst. When we believe together, and children, youth, and seniors, they all need helpers. Maybe God's calling you to help. Maybe it's not what you need to lead, but maybe you just need a help. Small groups offer fellowship, friendship, and growth. See, City Light, the pastors have designed a great church here, and they've got it really well run. Everything's there that we need. We all could make a better effort at finding where we fit in and make sure we're a part of. There's a perfect place right here for us. Lord works with and through his church, right? He does. And we want to be part of what he's doing. So what are the two things the church must do? Well, the church needs to bring in the lost. That we know. Because they're not going anywhere that any of us want to go. Thank God we're missing that because of Jesus' mercy and grace. We want to get as many in as we can. What else do we need to do? We need to pray for the lost. Fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. We can make a big impact in our city, in our province, and in our nation. If we pray for the lost, get together in unity and believe and pray, not just to increase our own fellowship and family size, but to increase the kingdom of God nationwide, we can have an impact and make a difference. Pastor Doug's on the Miracle Channel preaching the gospel. That reaches all across the nation. Yeah, so am I. But because Pastor Doug said, hey, I don't want to do all these. You have to do some. So guess what? So you know what? There's people, because of this little church family here, there's people across the nation hearing the gospel as well. And man, pray for the lost every day. And then bring people to church so we can see them saved. I want to say a quick prayer for anybody in the house that has not made Jesus the Lord of their life or wants to be part of the family, not necessarily just this family, although we'd love to have you, but you want to be part of the family of God. We're going to pray a quick prayer. Pray it with all your heart, and if you believe what you pray, then the Lord says, you shall be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, we believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe it. And Lord, for every one of us here, we open our hearts to you. If it's our first time, Lord, making a decision, come into our heart.